Genesis chapter number 4. Always on the altar is what I want to preach tonight. I don't know if I shared that with Brother Lucas back here or not. Amen. Been trying to preach this for several services now. And evidently the Lord is willing. We're going to share it tonight. As the Lord was moving around the altars this morning, he just spoke to my heart, said, go ahead and preach this tonight. And it will be the prelude into teaching on being a servant, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always on the altar. I appreciate Brother Lucas, Brother Timmy, Brother Titus working there in that sound booth. I appreciate that picture that he's pulled up there, that fire, that all-consuming fire. Amen. Because that's kind of what it's all about, that altar. That altar. And always on the altar. The altar, and that's what I'm going to bring out to us tonight, is you will find from the very beginning there's been an altar. That's why we still have these altars here, because I know what they represent. I know what they stand for, and I'm going to share that with you as we go through this message here tonight. And churches that don't want an altar, well, then they're not really wanting to serve God. They're just wanting to have God in their lives and live it how they want. Because that altar, that altar represents death. If you're not ready to die to self, then you're not ready to be a child of God. That's the very first step it takes to become a child of God, is ready to die to yourself and accept what God says about your condition. And when you're ready to acknowledge that, then he's ready to cleanse it and make your life new. Praise God. Always on the altar. Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 3 says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You may be seated. Praise God. This portion of Scripture, and especially verse number 7, may be a little more difficult to comprehend or understand. Because you have to kind of take out the middle portion and read verse 7. If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted, and unto thee shalt be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So in other words, what God was telling Cain was the firstborn. Cain was to be the ruler over the household at some point in time. And God was letting him know that if you will do well, you will maintain that status of where you belong, and Abel, you will rule over him. But if not, then sin lieth at the door. In other words, you are being tempted to do wrong. You are being tested to do right. And so here we have the first mention of an offering. As we read through the Bible, and we're going to do that here in a moment, we're going to find that from the very beginning of Adam and Eve after the fall in the garden, God instituted the burnt offering. God declared to these people of that day and that hour. Cain knew what he was supposed to do. Abel knew what he was supposed to do. Adam knew what he was supposed to do. They all knew what God had asked them to do now that sin had entered into the world. There's no place in Genesis where it shows us that God gave them specific instruction in how to do it. But as we come to this point in the Scriptures, and as we know the rest of the Scriptures and how God brought it all to pass through the Scriptures about that burnt offering, we realize that that burnt offering was enacted in the very beginning. It was part of God's plan of salvation. It was part of God's plan to bring it all the way to Jesus Christ. See, we're living at the end of time. This is the beginning of time. And from the beginning of time to this present time, the altar has great significance in the life of a child of God. Hallelujah. The altar has changed, but the significance thereof has not changed. Hallelujah. That's why, you know, God's an immutable God. We rejoice that God never changes. That shouldn't take us by surprise then that God still expects sacrifice. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we find here that Cain did not bring the right sacrifice. Wow. What would you do if you were told to bring a certain thing, and then all of a sudden you thought it would be better to bring something different? Well, see, that's kind of what was going on here. God had given them instruction. It's evident to me, maybe not to you, maybe you don't believe what I'm telling you, but it's evident to me that God showed Adam what to do. And then when Cain came along, Adam showed Cain what to do. And when Abel came along, Adam showed Abel what to do. Hallelujah. And so we find that for whatever reason, Cain wanted to change the rules. Cain wanted to change how it was done. Huh. What is really the definition of that? What would you call that, Brother Matthew? You got it. It's rebellion. A rebel. Well, if that'll work, surely this'll work. You know, I mean, God loves us, so surely He doesn't expect us to do what He said to do. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, God touches me by His Spirit, so surely He doesn't expect me to change my habits. Woo! Always on the altar. So God speaks. This is something we don't fully understand exactly how God spoke to Cain. But the thing we need to understand is God did speak to Cain. And God was merciful to Cain. And God let Cain know, you have opportunity to repent. And I'm going to use this word, of your foolishness. Because it's very foolish to think you can change the rules of God. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A fool will say, well, that doesn't make any difference. So here's our first fool, Cain. Cain was our first fool. He was our first rebel. He was our first murderer, too. So what does that mean? That means Cain did not listen to what God was trying to get across to him. Cain didn't want to change. He wanted to do his own thing. And so we see, I can't dwell here that much longer, but it's just a reality. God told him, if thou doest well, in other words, if you do what you were told that you needed to do, then you will be accepted. But if you don't, then sin is at the door. You are about to go a direction you do not want to go. And you will be judged for what you're going to do. And he was. He was. But what I'm after right here is the reality that from the very beginning, the altar and that burnt offering was there. And it was given just like God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. just like he told them that. Well, that one's over now. They did. Sin's entered in. So then God gave them the understanding to worship me and to fellowship with me. There needs to be a burnt offering on an altar of sacrifice. Hallelujah. So then we move into Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 20. How many remember how many clean animals Noah took on the ark? Seven. How many just ordinary animals were taken on the ark? Just two, male and female. You don't have to go very far in the Bible to know that it's just male and female. And all this garbage is going on in these last days, it's because rebellion has moved to such a magnitude. That is one of the most rebellious things that a human being can try to say, is that I'm not what God created me. All you got to do is go to Genesis and you find God created male and female. All through everything that's ever been created, it's male and female. So anyway, he took seven. And here's why he took seven. And once again, this establishes the fact that Noah knew which animals were to be sacrificed. That was not something God just told Noah. That came all the way from Adam all the way to Noah. And so that lets me know that that sacrifice and the way of sacrifice God had revealed to mankind of that day and that hour. And Noah took seven. Why? So when he got through the flood and the waters receded and dry ground appeared again, Genesis 8 and 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he only had to keep back two of the clean beasts. Amen. And he may have only sacrificed one of each, but I'm not for sure how many clean beasts there were. That was of seven. Noah knew. And he began to sacrifice them to God on a burnt offering. Hallelujah. So here we're seeing it's coming from Adam to Noah. Genesis 12 and 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So now it is still moving into Abraham's generation. He knew how to build an altar. He knew how to offer sacrifice. The burnt offering is the one that I'm really dealing with tonight in this message. He knew how to give that burnt offering unto God. And then we move to Genesis chapter 33, verse number 20. And he erected there an altar and called it Elohi Israel. And this is Jacob, when Jacob sees the angels ascending and descending, and he realizes God has been here. What's he do? He builds an altar. He has been taught. He has been trained in the way to worship God. Hallelujah. And he builds an altar there. And he offers a sacrifice unto the Lord. Not for sure what he sacrificed up at that point in time. But he knew he needed to build an altar to acknowledge the presence of God. I guess you got to throw this in here. Have you ever wondered why we come and migrate to this altar area when the Spirit of God's moving? Maybe you've never been taught. Maybe you haven't been trained. It's because that's the place of sacrifice we want to move to, because the presence of God is in the house. Hallelujah. That's why we migrate to the altar area. Because the significance thereof is to enter into the presence of God, to acknowledge God's presence, and begin to offer the sacrifices that God wants. Oh yeah, he still wants them. They're just different. Hallelujah. So Jacob erected an altar. Exodus 17:15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Hallelujah. So Moses was building an altar also. Of course, Moses got the law of God, and that's when all the offerings began to be instituted to the children of Israel. They were always there, but not in a written down form. You see, with Moses being the giver of the law, they became a written form for the children of Israel to follow. Up to that point, they were verbally given. So that's why you'd have to pay attention when Daddy was talking. This is how you worship God. This is how you please God. This is what God expects of us. Hallelujah. I don't have it written on paper anywhere. I don't have paper to write on. I don't have a pencil. Don't have an ink pen. And I'm not real good at hammer and chisel. There was no written word. Oh, you're blessed, aren't you? Oh, I'm blessed, aren't I? We have written word of God. Hallelujah. Whereby we can study, whereby we can read, whereby we can be trained. How we can please our God and worship our God and sacrifice unto Him. And even in this New Testament. Praise the Lord. So in Exodus 24 and 4, and Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. So now we have the written law of God. And he still rises up early in the morning. He builds an altar, and he builds it with 7 pillars to represent the tribes of Israel. It's moving to a new phase now with Israel. It's moving to the phase of law. It's moving to the phase of the written word of God, whereby this is what you must follow. In Joshua chapter 8, so we've moved all the way from Genesis, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, through Noah, through Abram, through Jacob, through Moses. Joshua now is leading the people. In Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 and 31, says, then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. As Moses, a servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lifted any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. So here from this portion of Scripture, we find that there was a specific way to build the altar. Now, I personally believe this is the same way God told Adam. I don't believe God changed the way he built an altar. He just had it written down. This is the way you build an altar unto me, if you're out and about. Now I realize, and I'm not going to go into that, but you know, he gave him the tabernacle. He gave him the brazen altar. And I'll touch a little bit on that golden altar. I'll touch a little bit on that altar of incense at the end of this message. But the thing I'm after here is, no matter who you were or where you were, what God would want was an altar and a sacrifice. An altar and a sacrifice. The burnt offering was whole burnt offering, which was totally consumed on the altar. That's, in other words, a burnt offering, everything of the animal was burnt. Nothing left over except the hide, so to speak. Most of the sacrifices benefited the offerer and the priest, in addition to being pleasing to God. Sometimes the offerer would eat some of the meat of sacrificial animal, and most often the priest received a portion of it. Thus, when one offered a sacrifice to God, one's mouth would water, knowing they were going to be able to partake of the sacrifice. The first barbecue. I mean, basically, that's what it was on some of the sacrifices. It was a time to come and fellowship with the priest. And you got to partake of some of the meat, and so did the priest. Not so in the case of the burnt offering, however. I mean, we've always made jokes, especially newlyweds, about burnt offerings. You know, first time the wife tries to cook something different, or maybe the first time she's ever cooked. Maybe the first time the husband's ever grilled something. And it was totally consumed on the offer, on the altar of the grill. And so burnt offering. So that, I mean, that kind of gives you an idea what a burnt offering. I mean, it was consumed. It was charred. It was destroyed. Neither the offerer or the priest partook of the meat, for it was all burned in the fire. Only the hide of the animal was given to the priest. And so the burnt offering then, the whole purpose of it was a total consumption of that sacrifice. All of it was gone. All of it was given to God. Nothing for the offerer, nothing for the priest. It was all given to God. Keep that on your minds. There were regularly scheduled times for the burnt offering. I want you to listen to this. Burnt offerings were to be made every day. In the morning and in the evening. So picture this in your mind with me. The alarm goes off. We get out of bed. We drink our coffee. Got to have coffee first. We drink our coffee. We go out the back door. Head over to the pen. And find that lamb that we had set aside for 7 days so I could offer it up. Without blemish, without spot, pick it up, head to my altar. Oh, I'm sorry, I better back up. Build a fire. Got to build a fire first. It's going to be hard to sacrifice an animal. I'm not awake yet. My coffee's not kicked in. This is every day, every morning, a burnt offering. Every night, a burnt offering. The time when the grill's the hottest, you get none of it. It's God's. And you tell me it's hard to live for God now. Don't tell me it's hard to live for God. No, no, no. You don't understand how easy it is to live for God. All you have to do is let God make your decisions for you. That's how easy it is to live for God. Hallelujah. So here it is, every morning, every evening. Hallelujah. Man, it kind of reminds me of David's psalm talking about morning and evening, and I will seek you. And that burnt offering was every morning, every evening. And an additional burnt offering was to be offered on each Sabbath day. So that means on the Sabbath day, it was morning, noon, and night. That's why we still have two services every Sunday, morning and evening. You do your other one at home. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the beginning of each month, at the celebration of the 14th day of the first month, along with new grain offering at the Feast of Weeks and at the Feast of Trumpets, and sacred day in the seventh month, and for the celebration of the new moon, and oh, did I fail to mention the Passover? Everyone, every day. They didn't do this very long, did they? Well, that's a whole lot of work. That's too hard. You mean I gotta get up in the morning, Dad, and I gotta go kill Clyde? Yeah, son. It's Clyde's time for sacrifice. All right, Dad, I'll do it for God. There it is. Yeah. Oh, you mean I got to get up and read my Bible? Oh, my. Help me, Jesus. I told you it's going to be rough. I told you it's going to be rough. I'm sorry, church. We just got plumb lazy in these last days. And we wonder why we struggle so much. We wonder why things don't go well very often. Oh, my. Are you offering your burnt offering in the morning? Are you offering it in the evening? Are you doing it every day? Hallelujah. We'll get to it here in a minute. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 10. Lucas don't have this one. I added this one later. But I'll read it to you. It's not long. It's not hard. It just simply says, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. It's Paul I believe it's Paul writing to the Hebrews, letting them know about the altar we have. It's not like the altar of the Old Testament. It's the altar of the New Testament. We have an altar. Hallelujah. We have a place where we offer sacrifice. Hallelujah. Now Romans 11, verse number 33. Amen. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again?" I love this scripture, this portion of scripture, verse 36. "For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." Now, this is the close of chapter 11 of the book of Romans. And that statement is the reality. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about God Almighty. It's all that He has done. He has provided. He has worked. Woo, my, He has forgiven. He has empowered. I mean, it's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. It's all about the goodness of God. It's all about glory for an almighty God. And then Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, he writes on, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, because for of him and through him and to him are all things, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." It came from God. Who are you to say how you're going to live your life when it belongs to God? Hello. Here's the new sacrifice. We have an altar, he said in Hebrews 13:10. We have an altar. This is the significance of our altar. This is where we offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto our God. Every morning, every evening, three times on Sunday. Maybe we need to start an afternoon service. I don't know. Praise God. Because if there's anything you and I need to do and get established in our lives, is a continual offering of our lives wholly unto God every morning, every evening, and if we need to, do it at noontime also when you're having dinner. Hallelujah. Keeping it on our minds that I'm here on the face of this earth to serve the living God, the holy God, the God that saved me, washed me, cleansed me, filled me with His Holy Ghost, and has blessed me over and over again. Who am I to say it's too hard? Woo. Who am I to be bored? If you are bored about serving God, you are not serving God. You're serving yourself. Because there's never a dull moment in a child of God's life, because God won't let you have one. Woo, hallelujah to the last. God's always on the move. God's always dealing in hearts. God's always talking to souls. If you're not hearing God talk to you, where in the world are you at? Who is talking to you then? Woo, there's that voice, Sister Pepper. There's that voice. There's what the altar means to you and I. It's a place of living sacrifice. It's a place where we lay it all down for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a place, and I've already said this, it's a place of death. That's why we migrate here. Because when the Spirit of God is moving in this house, the only way I'm going to benefit from it if I come forward to die. If I don't come forward to die, if I don't make that move towards death to that old man, I'll not really receive what God has for me by His presence. Now remember, with Cain, Abel was blessed. Abel's sacrifice pleased God. And let me tell you, church, when you please God, God's going to bless you. Hallelujah. I mean, if you're coming up short on blessing, then I suggest survey your life. Are you really living to please God? Are you just wanting God to bless your mess? Hello. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Abel's sacrifice was pleasing to God, but Cain come up short. And Cain didn't want to change his mind to receive the blessing of God. Have you ever read in the scripture, quench not the Spirit of God? Grieve not the Spirit of God? When the presence of God is in that sanctuary, you need to be up here at this altar. Hallelujah. Die unto yourself and let that new man be refreshed, renewed, revived, reminded. How many like to change your mind? This is a place where minds are changed. See, here's a little bit of advice. If you're sitting in the house of God and the Spirit of God is moving and everybody's getting in and everybody's getting blessed and you don't feel a thing, it's because you won't get up and come here. Let me take it a little bit deeper. You won't get up and die. You want it your way instead of accepting what God's doing and go His way. Woo! That's tight. Ooh, my. See, that's how it is. See, Cain didn't get a blessing, did he? No, because he wasn't wanting to change his mind. He wasn't wanting to receive what God had to say. Whoa, a lot of people stay away from this area of the altar because it scares them. Oh, I understand that. I've been there before. Hallelujah. I wasn't raised in Pentecost. I was raised in a Lutheran church. Nothing about Pentecost there. Nothing about the rapture there. Nothing about born again there. Not in the sense of what born again really is. You know, Lutheran church is one step out of Catholicism. Now they're stepping right back into Catholicism. I just know all this because of what they say and what they proclaim. Luther nailed 95 theses on the door and said, this is what really needs to be done. And he got in trouble for it, big time. But it was the first step of what they call in church history the Reformation. In other words, getting away from Catholicism, it was total in error. Total in error. It doesn't make any difference how good you are. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you're totally in error. You know, it's not a matter of how good you are. It's have you surrendered and died. And let a new man come forth. New creature created in God. Woo, hallelujah. Cain wouldn't listen. Cain could have had the same blessing Abel got. So when you're sitting in the house of God and you're not getting anything, it's because you're not listening. It's because you're not wanting to change. You don't need to be scared of this area. You need to run to this area. Because if you want to hear from God, this is where you'll hear from God. Oh, I realize God can touch you back there, and I realize that God can help you back there. I understand all that. I really, really do. But when you start understanding of what this area represents, it is a sign of faith in God. It is a sign that you're really serious about wanting to get a hold of God. Hallelujah. And you're really serious about hearing what God's got to say. You'll find yourself up here because this is the place of the altar. That was the first thing we envisioned when we looked at this building. How this sanctuary is setting and making sure we left plenty of altar room. Because this is where God brings men and women. Hallelujah. As we begin to learn and understand what this represents, just stepping down here is a step of faith. It's a step of surrender. Hallelujah. And if you're trying to make God move on your terms, I don't think that's surrender. That's a rebel. That's what Cain was doing. It didn't get him in a good spot, did it? It didn't get him anything good, did it? Actually, then he became a murderer. See, I mean, it doesn't. You don't really know how far you can go when you stop listening to God. There's no stop. Why is America in the shape she's in? From my surveying and my knowledge and my understanding, it happened in 1948. That's where it began. When the Supreme Court decided they were not going to use the Bible any longer for making decisions in the courts of America. That's when it started. And from that point forward, what was that? That's just a decision like Cain. We don't want to listen to God. And because of all the generations that knew God and all the generations that believed in God's Word, it's taken all the way to this point to get a generation that doesn't acknowledge God as an authority. So that's why you got all these people that are confused about their gender, because they don't know God. God was taken from their knowledge. God was taken from their training. And if you remove God from an equation, you have nothing but evil. Because that's what evil is the absence of God. So be careful. God's talking to you about something in your life. Sin lieth at the door if you don't make the right choice. If you don't make the right decision. That's what this altar is all about. This is where I come. This is where I sacrifice all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind. Hallelujah. You see, it's one thing to tell God at this altar, I hear you. I know this is right. I know this is what you want me to do. That is real. And you've probably heard Brother Pepper say more than once, now go walk in what God has done for you. What's that mean? That means get up from that altar of sacrifice where you've just presented yourself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. You've surrendered your heart. You've surrendered your mind. You've surrendered your soul. You've acknowledged that God has spoke to you and that God wants this changed in your life. All this has transpired at this altar. The rest of it is going to depend on what kind of servant you are of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's done His part. He showed, He revealed, He illuminated. Now it's your part to be the servant of the living God and go do it. Glory to our God. Hallelujah. Be not conformed. See, He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means you got to change your mind about it. And you got to wrap your mind around what God said. And then you go out and you do it that ye may prove. What is that good and acceptable? Yeah. Perfect will of God. If I remember correctly, and I'm not neglecting that side, there's just an organ over there. If I remember correctly, my Bible makes this statement. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's okay. Well, that's how we live it most of the time. Yeah, oh man, I shouldn't do that. And then you just go right back and do it again. Oh, I know God's not pleased with that. And you go right back and do it again.
Really?
Why would we do that? We're foolish. We are not serious about serving the living God. Woo. Mm. Glory. Hallelujah. This altar has another significance. Maybe this ain't the place to put it in, but it's still part of it. In Exodus chapter 30, verse number 1, says, "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Shittim wood shalt thou make it, that altar of incense, that praise of God." Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. This is a place of praise. What does the word continually mean? What was that?
What was that? Did I hear that right?
Okay, so then there's no place nor room for complaining, is there? If I'm giving praise to God continually, I guess I won't be complaining or murmuring, will I? Because I want to use my lips to glorify God. I want to use my voice to glorify God. I want to use my ability to speak to glorify God. Nowhere in the Bible will you find complaining is glorifying God. What is complaining anyway? Why do we complain? Maybe I need to understand that. Pardon? Lack of being content. Well, the Bible says to be content. So complaining, oh my, we're breaking two rules now. It says be content with what you have. Whether it's good or bad, be content. Give praise to God. Rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. Woo, glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. See, there's a reason for this altar. Hallelujah. Because if I find myself complaining all the time, then I need this altar to reverse that so I can learn to praise all the time. It doesn't mean everything's going good. It doesn't mean everything's going well. Who am I praising and what am I praising him for? I am praising God and I'm praising him because he's God. Hallelujah. He saved me. He washed me. He cleansed me. He filled me with his Holy Ghost. I'm part of his kingdom. He's done everything for me. Without him, I am nothing. So I need to be praising him and magnifying him. If I get to complain and I need to stop in my tracks, build an altar. Hallelujah. And start out offering sacrifice of praise to my God. I'm serious as I can be, because we're all tempted to complain. Things don't always go our way. We don't always feel good. Our health is not always great. But God is always great. Woo!
But God is always great. Hallelujah. We got to get the right perspective here. In this world, I'm going to have sorrow. In this world, I'm going to have troubles. In this world, the world's going to persecute me. In this world, I'm going to catch the flu. In this world, I might get COVID. In this world, all kinds of things are going to happen to me in my life in this world. But God is always great and greatly to be praised. And if I will put more effort into presenting myself a living sacrifice unto God and praising Him more than I do anything else, I'm going to start getting some victory I've never had in my life. Woo! Because I've got news for you, church. There is all kinds of things to complain about in this life. Man. Woo! Oh, God of heaven, have mercy on my soul. I mean,
why am I doing this?
How many times have you went to a restaurant and done nothing but complain? Oh, my, the service was bad. Oh, my steak was tough. Oh. Shame on you. You should have been thanking God for that tough steak because it's the food you had. Oh, did you return thanks before you ate it? Well, of course, I always return things before I eat. Well, did you thank God while you was eating it? Well, no, I was complaining about how tough it was. Uh-huh. Woo! Help me, Jesus. I just started reading the book of James this morning. Look out now. Go read the book of James, church. Start out on Monday. Start reading the book of James. See how well you fare with your tongue. How many foul words can you spit out of your mouth in one sentence with your tongue? Then compare how many words of thanksgiving you spit out of the same mouth. James said, this ought not be. This is not how God's kingdom works. This is not how a born again, regenerated child of God acts. Hello? Go read the book of James, church. It can be one of your first sacrifices on Monday morning at the burnt offering time. Hallelujah. Woo! Let me tell you, it's going to burn your hide. It's hot. It's a two-edged sword. And more than likely, you'll want to put it down than pick it up. Because it doesn't please the flesh at all. And we're more prone to pleasing the flesh than we are to pleasing God a lot of times in our lives. Mm-hmm. How far would you drive for a good meal? How much money would you pay for a good meal? And you mean to tell me you won't give God His tenth? Which are you more concerned about, your meal or God's money? Would you rather take God's money and go eat a good meal or give God His money? Well, you know, I had a hard time paying my tithes because, well, I went out and ate. And I bought everybody's meal and, you know, that's great. Here's another one. Hang on. Very first thing you do when you get paid is you pull that tithe right out of it. You don't do anything else. You pull the tithe out, make sure you look at it, and you pay all your bills. And then if you got any left, then you go get something to eat. If you don't, you eat what's in the fridge. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I'm sorry. Hang on, church. We're talking about serious servants of God, and it deals with money big time. You better make sure you're paying all your debts and all your bills before you're buying things you like and you want. Or you're not pleasing God at all. Mm-mm-mm. Help me, Jesus. Now you understand why it's titled Always on the Altar. We used to joke about it a lot of times when people first got saved, and they'd always come to the altar and always come to the altar, and that's great. They always say, well, I'm so sorry. I just got to get to that altar. I got to pray. I said, that's great. Come on. That's what it's all about.
That's what it's for. We'll pray here as long as you want to pray. Hallelujah. Because this altar is a place where God changes lives. And if lives don't get changed, then they're no good for the kingdom of God. Mm-mm. It's not about you living your way for God. It's about you living God's way for God. Hallelujah. And this altar is a place where I come. You've went out into this world throughout the work week, and you've rubbed elbows with the world, and you've been around worldly people, and you've been around foul-mouthed people, and you've been around people that talk slang, and I mean, you've been around people that just ain't godly people. You better come to that altar and get a cleansing, or you'll find yourself talking just like they do. And a serious servant of God doesn't do that. No, no, no. They keep their conversation to edify an almighty God. Hallelujah. And their words should be words of life, and their words are to be words to edify, and their words should always build up and encourage. And if you talk down to people, you are not a serious servant of God. Hello. Praise God. You see, this is why it's very important to have a sacrifice of praise to God continually. Because if I don't, I might start talking like everybody else talks. Oh, wow. You better get a grip. Man. On smack talk. You better make sure that there's more edifying words coming out of your mouth than putting people down. I didn't realize just how much of a prelude this was going to be to serious servants. But to do good. See, we're supposed to be praising God continually. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. If I'm always thankful to God, oh, wow, I'm going to have a good day. No matter how the day starts, I'm going to have a good day. Because I'm always going to be thanking God for this day You've given me. And Lord, if it's a hard day, then I need a hard day, God. There's something You're wanting to teach me, train me, or show me in the midst of this day. Are you getting the picture? Serious about serving God. No matter what the day holds, it's a God-given day. Now, I like what Sarah testified about. That was a day that held great things. Because God began to deal in her heart about doing this. She did it. Her first response from the children was like, what's this? I'm sure that's what's kind of like. Woo! Woo! But by the time it was all over, it was something God was using. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure God can use what I'm doing and what I'm saying for the glory of His kingdom and for the help of somebody. This is, like I said, when you're out in the workforce and the work field, this is a greater battle for you than those that are not out there rubbing elbows with the world. But it's your battle. And God expects you to win. And God has provided the power to win. Hallelujah. Praise God. And He's provided the altar whereby I can see it happen. That altar can be at home. It can be here. But when we're here, this is the altar. Praise God. I remember when these altars were built. Brother Bruce Parks built these altars for us when we first started our church over there on 502 East 4th. He said, do you want a pretty altar? One that really, really looks good? Or he said, do you want a real altar? One that you can get up on top of and preach off of? I said, I want a real altar. We didn't have a platform in 502 East 4th, so that was my platform sometimes. Hallelujah. I said, I want a real altar. I want one I can get up and put. Hallelujah, because that's what it's all about. coming to that altar and putting all on the altar as a living sacrifice. See, we don't have to be burned up. We don't have to be consumed with fire. Now, if we don't make it to these altars and continually live around this altar and always on the altar, we may burn in fire one day. But as long as we're on that altar and being that living sacrifice to our God, and we are continually offering up praises and thanksgiving to our God, we're not going to have to burn. We're just going to burn up, so to speak, in giving ourselves for God. And we'll come to the end of life, and He will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in, oh, to the joy the Lord has prepared for thee." Ahead. Hallelujah. Could I have a piano player? The altar of sacrifice is a place of putting my all and giving my all. It's a dying out to self, taking up my cross, and following Jesus Christ. It's not all about just intense emotional highs. It's about surrender to God that brings such a blessing to our lives that it becomes an emotional high. Hallelujah. There's no greater joy than the joy of the presence of the power of God, the Holy Ghost of God, moving in your heart, your mind, your soul around the altars of God as we present ourselves unto Him. Why do we always lift our hands? That's something coming from a Lutheran church, you never saw that in church. Come to a Pentecostal church, always lifting their hands, always standing to their feet. I mean, we stood up in the Lutheran church, but we were told when to do it, and we were told when to sit down, told what to say. And this church, everybody was spontaneous, and they worshiped and praised God, and they always lifted their hands, and I'm looking around like, these folks are crazy. What are they doing? Oh, but when Jesus Christ saved my soul and came into my life, you know what the first thing I did? I lifted my hands, and I thanked Him, and I praised Him. And then I found out later that the lifting of hands is a sign of... all through the ages, when the law officer came, he would say, or even the thief would come, he'd say, "Stick your hands up." I mean, are you going to fight? Law officers do the same things. Hands up. Feet apart. Down on the ground. What is that all? That's a sign of surrender. If you do what they say, you usually don't have any trouble, do they? But it's when they rebel against the authority, that's when all things kind of go awry. When you're pulled over by a police officer, do you give Him a piece of your mind? Or do you just treat Him with respect, honor, and do whatever He asks you to do? First thing He's going to ask you to do is, "Can I see your driver's license? Do you have your insurance?" And I have found that if you treat them kind and with respect, and it wasn't that major of an offense, well, I'm not going to write you a ticket. I'm just going to give you a warning. Slow it down. Slow it down. Yeah. But if you're all gruff and you're all mad and you're saying, "What'd you stop me for?" you're going to get a ticket. That's just how it is. Wow. How would you like to be treated? Nice or mean? Anybody here like to be treated mean? I just want to see if there's anybody. Anybody here like to be treated mean? Oh, you're kidding me. You mean the way you treat people, you don't want to be treated the same? Oh, that's kind of strange. Ah, that's God's word, isn't it? Because we're to treat others how we want to be treated. Not how we've been treated, how we would want to be treated. That's how we are to treat others. Woo! Praise our God. Stand with me if you would. always on the altar. Those that have made that comment, well, I'm probably just going to have to ride that altar all the way to heaven. My response to those was, we're all going to have to ride that altar to make it to heaven. Hallelujah. You can't visit it too much. That's why we always tell everybody these altars are open. These altars are always open. That means if you're back there worshiping God, praising God, singing praises unto God, singing the hymns of Zion unto God, and the Spirit of God says, you need to go pray. You need to get down here and pray. That's your first step of surrender. Hallelujah. And there's no telling where to go from there. If you'll just have that simple step of surrender when the Spirit of God says, come. That's why we say these altars are always open. That's why we call them the altars. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not a place of joy in the sense of flesh. Wow. There is nothing like the peace of God, the joy of God, the assurance of God, the power of God that you can experience around these altars. Don't misunderstand me. God touches out there. Because I remember when I was lost, He touched me out there. But He saved me down here. And then as I begin to learn the significance of the altar, this is where you would always find me, down here. Hallelujah. Because this is the place God has chosen from Genesis to this present point for that place of that burnt offering, totally given to God. Totally given to God. Sometimes it's a hard place to get. Not everybody through Scripture got there. But I've got confidence in you and me. We're going to live there. Praise God. Let's lift our hands unto the Lord. God of heaven. Oh, you're holy, Lord. You're merciful. Your grace. Oh, how it abounds. Hallelujah. Lord, we have your written word. Oh, blessed be your holy name. God, your Holy Ghost. Oh, so graciously visits this sanctuary. God, your Holy Ghost so graciously abides within. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Lord, help us to get a hold of that burnt offering every morning, every evening. Hallelujah, that altar of sacrifice. Glory in your presence. Oh, in your mercy, in your power. Helping us, Lord God, through our everyday deeds. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the King. Glory to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Ghost.